Our Bible reading this evening is found at the end of the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 18. Reading from verse 28 to verse 40. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. They themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered, Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. The Lord will add his own blessing to this familiar passage from his own precious word. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we ask thee now to still us in thy presence and to open the word of God to our hearts, to our understanding, and open our conscience to thy word. We pray, our Father, that this evening will be a time of the utmost solemnity, when the God of glory will come and deal with souls. Our Father, we pray that there will be this night a gracious moving of the Spirit of God, taking the gospel of God's free grace in Christ, and applying it with great power to every waiting heart. Search out every sinner, every unconverted man, woman, and child in this meeting this evening. Oh God, search out the lost and save them by thy sovereign grace. Lord, may the Lord Jesus be evidently set forth among us this evening. And we pray that the words of man, which count for nothing, may be set aside, and the mighty word of God, carried home to the heart by the conviction of the Spirit of God, will do its work. Hear our prayer. Answer our petition. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The words of our text tonight are found in the final verse of John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 40. Then cried they all again, saying,
not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Pontius Pilate saw the custom of releasing one prisoner to mark the feast of the Passover as his last chance to avoid having to give judgment in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he brought to the attention of the crowd two men. To him it was inconceivable that they could make the wrong choice. And so he set before them Barabbas and Jesus of Nazareth, whom he rightly called the King of the Jews. He asked the question, which of the two do you wish me to release unto you? And to his utter amazement, up went the cry, Barabbas, Barabbas the criminal, Barabbas the murderer, Barabbas the destroyer of his people. Release Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Give us Barabbas. The Jews got their man, for Barabbas was indeed released unto them. They got their man. They chose Barabbas, but as they would very soon discover, Barabbas was a robber. And certainly he robbed them. He robbed them of everything. And I don't think it is too much to argue that he cost them their very existence as a nation. For you see, Barabbas was a leader of that sect, that terrorist group, as we would now term it, called the Zealots. Until that time, despite having quite a bit of popular support, the Zealots were opposed by the official leadership of the Jews. Now, however, in this moment of decision, the Jewish leaders threw caution to the winds, and they pitched in their lot with Barabbas and with his criminal bands. Such was their hatred of Christ. Such was their determination that he would not avoid the judgment and escape the cross, that they gambled with the very destiny of their nation. They gambled, and like most gamblers, they lost. By the action of the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests, inciting the people to call for Barabbas, by that action, they encouraged the popular frenzy toward insurrection. The final result of that action was that in a few years, Jerusalem was surrounded by armies on the outside and torn apart by party strife on the inside. The bloody, brutal terror of the Zealots, who earned the unenviable title the Sicarii, the dagger men, the murderers. Their bloody and brutal terror finally provoked Titus, the Roman general, to raze the city to the ground. Though as he did so, he called on God to witness that the blame was there. And not his. Such was the issue of that momentous decision reached by the Jews when that day, at Pilate's judgment hall, they chose between Barabbas and Christ. As our text notes, they chose Barabbas, but Barabbas was a robber. An American poet whose view of truth in the poem I quote is otherwise rather deficient, nonetheless captures the enduring significance of that moment in Jerusalem for all of us. He wrote, once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide. In the strife of truth with falsehood, for the good or evil side. The same choice as faced the Jews that day faces every man, woman, and child who hears the gospel. So therefore let us step back into that scene and take our place in the crowd at the Antonia Palace, and once again seek to answer the question, Barabbas or Christ? The very first thing that comes to mind as I consider this text is that the world's choice has always been Barabbas. The Jews were not unique in crying, give us Barabbas, not this man. The Romans, both on that occasion and in the years that followed, made the very same choice. Follow the apostles of Christ through the Roman Empire. See them go from place to place with the gospel of redeeming love and grace. What kind of a place was it? If you read Paul's graphic description in Romans chapter 1, you will see a picture of the society of the Roman Empire. You will see a picture of everyday life under the heathenism and the paganism that undergirded Rome. It's not a very pretty picture. It's a picture of wickedness and ungodliness and perversion and filthiness. And that was life in that day. Now, the Roman courts of justice administered laws that had been passed in order to safeguard society. These Roman courts of justice passed sentence in order to quell the direst threats against the well-being of the state. What did they outlaw? Did they outlaw the crime of baby murder? Did they deal with the child killers who abandoned newborn babes by the hundred at the banks of the river Tiber? No, that was not on their judicial agenda. Did they outlaw the sodomites and the perverts and the drunkards and the slave owners, the moral scum whose stench filled the empire? Ah, no. The harshest treatment of the Roman state was not against these instruments of Satan for the destruction of souls, but it was against the preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Roman magistrates and Roman emperors took delight in seeing little teenage girls whose only crime in life was their profession of faith in the Son of God, and feed them to the wild animals. Just as truly as Jerusalem, Rome cried out, not this man, but Barabbas. Even when it professedly became Christian, Rome simply redressed Barabbas and enthroned him in the church. For what was the papacy at Rome but the ancient choice of Barabbas before Christ? And when we are told that the whole world wondered after the beast, and indeed still does, we are still hearing the cry of Rome, not this man, but Barabbas. And are not the nations of the earth today making the same choice still? Think of this nation. The choice is still for America, Barabbas or Christ. And when faced with the Barabbas of moral perversion, reckless, wicked, abandon, abominable practices, licentious pleasures, and materialistic gain. Faced with that, Barabbas or Christ? America as a nation is just as truly filling the courts of heaven with its cry, not this man, but Barabbas, as ever Jerusalem or Rome did. And as in Jerusalem, the leaders of the state now throw in their lot with Barabbas. From the White House, through the Supreme Court, through federal courts, through local governments, without at all trying to imply that every person in those places is an ungodly man, yet throughout all the strata of government, we find that the machinery of the state is stirring the hearts and the minds of the populace to say, Barabbas, and not Jesus. For Barabbas is still the world's choice. But worse still, Barabbas is still the choice, even of some of you. And now we come to each man and woman amongst us standing directly face to face with the God of truth. And I am fully persuaded that as each of us stands before God tonight, there are men and women and young people in this meeting whose choice is not this man, but Barabbas. You know your Barabbas well. There may be some in this meeting tonight, and for the Barabbas of filthy lust, for the Barabbas of worldly gain, for the Barabbas of sinful pleasure, for the Barabbas of the worldly crowd and the applause of that wicked crowd, you are saying, away with this man, not this man. It's as if they are saying they cannot even use his name. They can use the name of a murderer and a vile leader of sedition. That name they can take upon their lips, but the name of Jesus they cannot even take upon their lips. They say, not this man, not this fellow, anything but Christ. I do think that there are people who listen to me tonight. You're gambling with your soul. You're taking the Barabbas, whether it is of lust or gain or the worldly crowd or the titillating pleasures of sin. You're setting up your Barabbas. And you name that Barabbas with pride and with love. And you say, not this man. My choice is Barabbas. The world's choice. The second thing I note is this. That choice involves a great crime. In fact, the crime is twofold. Setting your heart on sin is itself criminal. And then, of course, the second part of the crime, to choose Barabbas, you must reject Christ. To choose Barabbas, you must reject Christ. See the two men standing before the crowd in Jerusalem. Look especially at Jesus of Nazareth. And then ask the question, why would they reject him? Was it on account of his character? His enemies said, we find no fault in him. The very chief priests who were drumming up the charges had to suborn liars and false witnesses. And even they could not frame a charge that would stick. Was it because of his works? Could they really want to say, away with this man, give us Barabbas, because of the blind whom he had made to see, the deaf to whom he had given hearing, the lame whom he had made to walk, the brokenhearted whom he had healed, the dead whom he had brought to life, the hungry whom he had fed? Was it because of his works? Was it for his influence? Was any town ever the more immoral, the more wicked, the more ungodly, the more rebellious, the more seditious, because Jesus of Nazareth did great works there? Was it for his influence? Why would they reject him? You know, the only answer in my mind that I can come to is that despite his character, despite his works, despite his words, the Jewish crowd came to realize that the great object of the heart of Jesus Christ was diametrically opposed to the great desire of their own heart. They were tied to the earth. And even though their ties to earth yoked them with a blood-soaked murderer and a wicked, seditious leader like Barabbas, they would rather have that. They could take their place with a Barabbas rather than identify with him who humbly stood before Pilate and said, I am a king indeed, but my kingdom is not of this world. Why does the world reject him yet? For the very same reason. But bring it right down to you tonight. If you're in this meeting as a Christ-rejecting sinner, why do you reject him? Now that's not a rhetorical question. That's a question I mean you to answer. Why do you reject him? I think you'll find men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You'll find that you do not reject Christ because of his character or because of his works or because of his influence. You do not reject Christ because of anything lacking in him or his gospel or his grace or his salvation. You reject Christ because of a heart that is as wicked as hell and sin can make it. A heart that is bound by the chains of ungodliness. A heart that is tied to earth and has no sympathy with the holiness and the heavenliness of the Son of God. But however you explain the rejection of Christ, let me tell you, you cannot reject Christ without committing a monstrous crime. Because listen, he is the very Son of God. He is your Creator. He is your Sustainer. You would not live a second, did he not sustain you? He is your Creator, he is your Sustainer, and he is your Judge. So in rejecting Christ for Barabbas, you repudiate God's law, and you stand a criminal condemned by the holy law of God. Rejecting Christ is not the only crime of which the sinner is guilty, but it is the crime that points up the wickedness and the criminality of all his other crimes. You stand indicted as a repudiator and a rebel against God's law. Ah, but even worse, to reject Christ, you despise His love. For you see, it was at the Passover, emphasize that, it was at the Passover that Christ stood before the people. It was as the ultimate paschal Lamb of God that He stood there. It was the Lamb of God whom they rejected. The Jews' rejection was vicious and wicked. But listen. Listen to me very carefully. The viciousness and the wickedness of those people who stood under the shadow of the judgment hall that day and then went out to stand under the shadow of the cross, I don't believe is anywhere nearly so great as the viciousness and the wickedness of men and women and young people like you who reject Christ still. For you have the benefit of fuller knowledge. You have viewed the cross not in the heat and passion of the moment, whipped up by the frenzied supporters of the scribes and Pharisees. No, you have viewed the cross in the full and final light of God's revelation. You have learned the meaning of Calvary. You've learned the meaning of the whole incarnation and life and death of Jesus Christ. You know that He is God's great, full and final love gift to sinners. You know that He laid down His life and died the just for the unjust. You know that He endured not only the curse of man, but the curse and the wrath of a sin-hating God, bearing His breast to the thunderbolts of divine anger to see if guilty wretches like you and me from our sins and their curse for eternity. You know this man came into the world to save sinners. You've heard the gospel of Christ again and again and again. You've been brought up under the sound of the gospel of saving grace. You've heard the call of God. You've felt the tug at your heartstrings as the gospel of Jesus Christ has convicted you of your sin and has brought you once and again to that place called Calvary. Like John Bunyan, many a time you've come to that place somewhat ascending. You've lifted your eyes and you have begun to understand that Jesus Christ died to save guilty sinners just like me. And yet, surrounded by the evidence of the love of God, surrounded by the evidence of the tender mercies that drove Christ to Calvary, there are men and women and young people here tonight who stand not merely at Pilate's judgment hall, but can stand right under the shadow of Calvary. And they can cry to the throne of God, "Not this man. Not this man. I will have my Barabbas." Do you see that Barabbas of lust and pride and sin and gain and the worldly wicked crowd? That's my God. Not this man, but Barabbas. What a choice. And what a crime. What a crime. Because I say this, finally, that crime involves the most awful cost. The Jews chose Barabbas. Notice the final words of the verse. Now Barabbas was a robber. And he robbed them of everything, ultimately. They paid the supreme sacrifice. There is nothing, nothing in the annals of history that is more blood-curdling than the history of the siege and the fall of Jerusalem. They paid the ultimate price, and for well nigh 2,000 years were driven as a nation from their homeland, the object of the hatred of the world. That is not in any way to remove the guilt from the world for their anti-Semitism. It is simply to state the fact that day when they cried, "Give us Barabbas." Barabbas is what they got. Barabbas was a robber. It's always the same story. Barabbas is always a robber. Your Barabbas is a robber. Your Barabbas robs you now. No man is the richer by rejecting Jesus Christ. No sinner is better off for staying in his sin. Every day you remain apart from Christ, every day you remain clutching to your Barabbas, he's robbing you. He's robbing you of peace. Peace of mind, peace of conscience. He's robbing you of pardon. He's robbing you of fellowship with God. He's robbing you of the assurance of eternal life. He's robbing you of the prospect of glory. He's robbing you of any decent purpose and motive to live. He's robbing you of everything that makes life really worth the living. Barabbas robs you. He is robbing you. You do not sin with impunity. Young people, listen to me very particularly. In your teenage years, you do not sin with impunity. I have talked with people who have begun to get into their adult years, and they have lived their teenage years in the most appalling wickedness. I think of a young man tonight who is going on with the outside framework of his life, apparently intact, but his heart is broken, his life is broken, his marriage is hollow, his mind is under siege from the devil every day that he lives. Why? Because in his teenage years, he enthroned Barabbas. He lived for the Barabbas of lust, and it has destroyed what makes a man indeed. There he lives, the shell of a man. He's being robbed. Every day he's being robbed by Barabbas. Barabbas robs you. When I was in Northern Ireland a time or two back, a young man stayed to talk with me after a gospel meeting. Pitiable sight. I trust that God's mercy has extended to him. But still a pitiable sight. A young man of genius, a brilliant mind, highly educated. In human terms, you would say he has the world at his feet. A young man, he got caught up in drugs. And I don't wish to be crude, but I think the easiest way for us to understand it is he fried his brain. You can still catch some glimmer of the genius that was there. But you're really only looking at the burned out shell of a man. Barabbas robbed him. And I want to tell you, my friend, he always does. A young man recently was dying of cancer as the result of AIDS.
Never let anybody tell you he went the way of the Sodomites because he was born that way. He went that way because he was inveigled. That's his own testimony on his deathbed. He was inveigled into that wickedness. As he lay dying, he said, "You know, the people who lived the way I lived are the most miserable people on earth. They are the most miserable people on earth." I think he was 34 years of age. Something like that. Robbed of health. Robbed of life. Barabbas always is a robber. And he'll keep on robbing right up to the end. He'll rob you in the moment of death. The devil has no mercy. Barabbas will keep on robbing right up to the moment of death and then beyond. For this is a robber who will rob you for all eternity. For I want us to know tonight that very soon, we are all to stand before a greater judgment bar than Pontius Pilate's. Now, we're not talking about a Roman governor on the judgment seat. We're talking about the throne of God and of the Lamb. We're talking about Christ on the throne. The thunders rumble. The heavens roll back like a scroll. The angels attend, the books are opened, and the millions of earth stand before God in the final judgment. I want you to know you'll be there. You will be there. Step forward. Naming you by your name, step forward, is the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you now, man, if you've ever thought in your life before, in God's name, think now. I want you now to see that scene as you finally stand face to face with the God of glory and the Lord Jesus Christ. The voice of the Savior. Did I not stand before you? Was I not arraigned before you? Did you not call for Barabbas? Did you not say, not this man, but Barabbas? Then Barabbas you shall have. Depart from me. I never knew you. Man or woman or young person tonight, I want you to think again, for that's the essence of repentance. Think again about this great choice, the greatest that you could ever face. Have a look at your Barabbas. The world dresses your sin in the glitter and the tinsel of Hollywood. God says it's Barabbas. Have a look at your sin. Put the name Barabbas, the robber, the murderer, right across your sin. Then look away to the blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me, will you indeed reject Christ? Will you again tonight say, not this man, but Barabbas? Will you truly reject Christ? Has not God in mercy spoken to your heart? Has God not made you miserable in your sin? Has God not held before you the awful judgment upon this crime of choosing Barabbas? Does he not call you to himself? I call you tonight to witness against your own choice of Barabbas. Has God not, by his gospel and by his Spirit, not come in your heart calling you to Jesus Christ with the promise, mind you, that he'll save you and keep you for all eternity? Then with all the urgency and all the honesty of which I am capable in the light of the judgment day of God, I plead with you to turn from Barabbas to Christ. Take God at his word. Be like an old Jew away in the early days of the Christian church that I was reading about by the name of Tremellius. He also heard what you have heard. By the grace of God, his cry was, Christ for me. As Tremellius lay upon his deathbed, his mind went back to that day when he was faced with the question, Barabbas or Christ? Gathering himself in the bed and looking up to heaven, he cried, Not Barabbas. Not Barabbas. But Christ. The difference between heaven and hell. The difference between heaven and hell is saying, not Christ, but Barabbas. And not Barabbas, but Christ. Come to the Savior. You stand tonight in the shadow of Calvary and the shadow of eternity. The greatest question, the greatest choice ever set before men, I set before you tonight. Barabbas or Christ? Barabbas is a robber. Christ is the Redeemer. Oh, be saved. Think again. Sinner, hear the warning voice. Make the Lord Jesus your final choice. Then all heaven will rejoice. May God give you grace tonight to say, not Barabbas, but Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and our eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the person and the work of our dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, our God, for Him who was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We bless Thee for the free offer of the gospel. We thank Thee for that wonderful promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We remember Joshua told the children of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our God and Father, we pray that Thou wilt write this solemn choice upon the hearts of men and women tonight. We pray that
as the Holy Ghost, once again, as he did in the days of Moses, would cry, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come forth unto me." But thou wouldst call men and women and boys and girls forth to the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, our Father, we pray tonight that thou wilt stir the conscience. O God, we pray that thou wilt work conviction of sin. Let men and women, and especially young people, see beyond the glitter and the tinsel and the surface attraction of Barabbas to the real nature of the robber of sin. O God, we pray that thou wilt convict men and women of their need of Christ. And we ask thee this night that thou wilt give them that grace of the Spirit, that effectual call of the Holy Ghost, that will enable them to say, not Barabbas, but Christ. Lord, we feel something of the urgency for people to be saved, and we pray that in grace thou wilt save them tonight. We do want every head bowed in prayer. We do want every eye closed. There are people here who have professed the name of Christ, but in reality, you've lived for Barabbas. Doesn't matter whether, like Rome in her days of persecution, or Rome in her days of professed Christianity, you enthrone Barabbas one way or the other. Doesn't matter what you're like here, if you're enthroning Barabbas, man, you must be saved. I wonder, have you a religion that has merely dressed up Barabbas in new clothes and still put him on the throne of your heart? Oh, be saved tonight. Real salvation is what I'm talking to you about. There are some of you, and you haven't even tried to dress Barabbas up. You're going mad for the world. Mad for the world. Mad for sin. Kicking over the traces. Just think again. Will you have Barabbas or Christ? Come to the Savior. I'm here as your servant for Jesus' sake. I'd love to see you saved. Do not go out of this meeting saying, "I want Barabbas." That's what you'll get. Barabbas is a robber. Come, come, not tomorrow, tonight, come, take Christ, freely offered to you in the gospel. Have a word with me, let me open the book with you, and point you to Christ. Father in heaven, answer prayer, save the lost. Gracious God, break the power of sin and bring the lost to Jesus. Part us with thy blessing, keep us in thy fear, now and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.